Now, Roger Goodell, the commissioner, at the podium.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers have traded the 7th pick to the Buffalo Bills. With the 7th pick in the 2018 NFL Draft, the Buffalo Bills select Josh Allen, quarterback, Wyoming.
Tre'Davious White, defensive back, LSU.
Jermaine Edmonds, linebacker, Virginia Tech.
What's up, Bills Mafia? It's Joe Marino from the Draft Network, and I am your host of Locked On Bills. Happy Monday to you. It is draft week. This week, we will know what the Bills do with their 10 draft picks entering the 2019 NFL Draft. The speculation will be over very soon. But with that said, we've still got a few more days of speculation to get to. And so part of what I want to get to on today's show is share some of what I've heard regarding the Bills and the number 9 overall selection in the 2019 NFL Draft, and then maybe draw from another area that perhaps we haven't fully considered yet. So that's coming up here shortly. I do want to get a couple of things, housekeeping things, out of the way. Do not forget to send in your Twitter Tuesdays. Get them in early because I'm going to record this podcast, the Tuesday podcast, pretty early on Monday. So please get those in. Looking forward to that. Always do. You guys always fill them up with great takes and questions regarding the Buffalo Bills. So please continue to do that. Also, some questions have come through about the plan for the podcast this week because I'll be in Nashville doing the live broadcast for thedraftnetwork.com. And what does it mean for Locked On Bills? So it doesn't mean anything for Locked On Bills. It means that you're going to get a lot of Locked On Bills this week. I have episodes planned today, obviously, through Sunday. So I plan on doing Twitter Tuesday tomorrow, Water Cooler Wednesday on Wednesday. That'll be very draft-focused. Thursday will be my final mock draft for the Bills, and I'll talk about some other things in the first round. Friday, we'll react to the first round regarding the Bills. Saturday, we'll react to day two regarding the Bills, and then Sunday, we'll react to day three regarding the Bills. So you have podcasts coming your way every day for a long time here, because after Sunday, we'll get right back into our Monday routine, and obviously have a lot to talk about with potentially 10 new Buffalo Bills to factor into this roster. I am getting married very soon. That goes down on May 4th. So the week of the 5th, I will be on my honeymoon. So we'll have to figure out the plan for the podcast that week. I have an idea of how to do a couple things pre-recorded that will make sense. I'll have to finalize that, but I'll make sure that I get you guys taken care of while I'm gone on vacation. One other thing, remember, the Draft Network is broadcasting the NFL Draft live from STK Steakhouse in Nashville. I'll be part of the analyst team for that. We have a lot of great stuff planned, a lot of fun things, celebrity guests, some players. Obviously, our crew over at the Draft Network, we're bringing in Benjamin Albright, who is an insider who will be part of our panel, in addition to Trevor Sikkema and Kyle Krabs and Ben Solak and Brad Kelly, myself, Paige DeMakos hosting. So you can watch that live on Twitter. That'll be at Draft Network LLC. All 3 days, we are broadcasting live. So if you want to see my immediate reactions to the Bills picks, you can tune in there. And it's interesting because, I got to be a pro. I got to be a professional. So, whatever the Bills do, I may or may not like it, but I got to give it to you honest and in a professional manner there on the live broadcast. I've done this for the last 2 years, it's been crazy, right? In 2017, the Bills are on the clock, trade all the way back to 27. I had to deal with that live on the air. And then, of course, the two trades up for Josh Allen and Tremaine Edmonds last year. So we'll see what the 2019 NFL Draft has in the cards for us. And you'll get to see my reaction live on Twitter at Draft Network LLC is the account to follow. And you can watch our live broadcast, which we think is going to be really, really good. Excited about the production team and everything that we have planned for that. Again, it is sponsored by Under Armour, their new UA Rush line. It is innovative, cutting-edge apparel that you should check out. Again, thankful for Under Armour, specifically the UA Rush line, for sponsoring that broadcast, in addition to Coca-Cola, Orange Vanilla. Check it out. All right, so one thing that I wanted to talk about today was this tendency that I've picked up on with Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott over the last 2 years or so, following these guys and paying attention to everything that they do. I think they've made three big mistakes. Three big mistakes have been made, and they've made three huge corrections to those mistakes. And I thought if we talked about those three mistakes that they've made, that we could maybe glean something from it and give a clearer picture as to what may happen with the 2019 NFL Draft and the Buffalo Bills. I want to talk about these mistakes. The first mistake that I want to mention is they did not surround Josh Allen with a veteran quarterback as a rookie. Obviously, it was a three-person race between AJ McCarron, Nate Peterman, and Josh Allen from the moment he was drafted until right up until the start of the regular season. And then they went into the regular season after they traded AJ McCarron to the Oakland Raiders with just Nate Peterman and Josh Allen as the two quarterbacks on the roster. Of course, Nate Peterman, his only start in 2017 was that Chargers game where he threw all those interceptions in the first half, had a really good camp and a really good preseason. There is no denying that Nate Peterman had a terrific preseason last year. But to go into the season with only Nate Peterman and Josh Allen, Allen a rookie, Nate Peterman a 1 year pro that struggled terribly in his only start, was a big mistake, as we've learned. And we saw how much better Josh Allen was once he had Matt Barkley and Derek Anderson in the room with him. And you think about what was the first thing Brandon Bean did this offseason? He secured extensions for Derek Anderson and Matt Barkley. I mean, that was basically done before the season was over. And so you saw right there a huge correction to a mistake from Nate Peterman and Josh Allen as your only quarterbacks on the roster to Nate Peterman gone, Josh Allen backed up by Derek Anderson and Matt Barkley. I mean, how much? What is that? That's over 20 years of experience between Anderson and Barkley. Huge corrections, right? That was done literally before the end of the season. Barkley and Anderson were signed two extensions. The second big mistake that I think Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott made last year was they did not retool the offensive line. In just a few weeks, the Bills said goodbye to Eric Wood, Richie Incognito, Cordy Glenn. Long-term, reliable NFL starters. And just like that, the left tackle, left guard, and center were gone. And they didn't do anything to replace them. They relied on Deion Dawkins to get better. Didn't happen. They signed Russell Bodine, Marshall Newhouse. Ain't going to cut it. Those guys did not cut it. And the Bills' offensive line was a real problem last year for Josh Allen in his rookie season. So what did they do? What did Brandon Bean do to reverse that error? Well, he went out and signed six unrestricted free agent offensive linemen already this offseason. Tyon Secchi, LaRadrian Waddle, Spencer Long, Quentin Spain, John Feliciano, Mitch Morse. All six of those guys were added to the mix because they did not replace Incognito, Wood, and Glenn. You saw a huge correction to an error. The third thing, the third big mistake that I think Sean McDermott, Brandon Bean made recently was failing to surround Josh Allen with the right receivers, right? The receiving core for the Bills was Andre Holmes and Calvin Benjamin, towering receivers that can't separate and quite honestly have terrible ball skills. Look at how that's changed. I mean, it changed in season with, you know, basically Robert Foster, Isaiah McKenzie, Zay Jones being the trio of receivers that, you know, when the offense started clicking, those were the guys. And they cut Calvin Benjamin and Andre Holmes, two starting receivers to start the year. And now you've seen the Bills add to Zay Jones and Robert Foster and Isaiah McKenzie, John Brown, a speedster who can separate, and Cole Beasley, who's a slot receiver that can separate. Not tall guys, not towering receivers with big catch radius that are supposed to be, you know, be beasts at the catch point. No, guys that can get open. And so you've seen that correction. And so I say all that to say, you know, I've been doing a lot of local radio here in Charlotte regarding the Panthers. I'm hosting a draft party here in Charlotte for their, you know, their local sports talk radio station on Wednesday. And one of the callers last week when I was in studio called in and started talking about, you know, the mistakes that the Carolina Panthers have made and how you should look at those mistakes and maybe come up with some ideas as to what could happen in the draft. And that specifically, that discussion was centered around not having a reliable backup for Cam Newton when Derek Anderson left. And, you know, he didn't leave. He just wasn't re-signed. And so the talks about the Panthers potentially drafting a quarterback as early as day two, as early as the second round. And so, you know, the Panthers have really learned their lesson with this. So that's why I'm thinking, okay, what lessons has Brandon Bean learned in recent history and what did he do about it? Well, we talked about that. Quarterback, offensive line, wide receiver. He's made a huge emphasis on addressing those positions. What mistakes, what do you look at with this roster right now and say, hey, if they don't fix that, that's going to be a problem? You've heard me talk about that. It's the defensive line for me. Not enough playmakers on the defensive line. I mean, I don't know how many times I can say this to you, but who besides Jerry Hughes consistently beats blocks, wins one-on-one matchups, and makes plays? Jerry Hughes is the whole list. Now, they have plenty of rosterable, serviceable guys. Shaq Lawson, Trent Murphy, the Phillips brothers, Star Latulele, all fine NFL players. Who are the dudes? Who are the playmakers on the defensive line? For me, if that doesn't get addressed, you're going to see all hell break loose with the investments on the defensive line starting next offseason. Now, what's so interesting to me about that, because it seems obvious to me, you've got an NFL draft that's loaded with defensive line talent. You're picking 9 overall. You're going to likely get a player that is worth that pick at a position of need. So I'm all in on the defensive line. Nothing that I learn from talking to different sources and gathering information indicates to me that that's going to be the direction that the Bills go. Now, the caveat being if Ed Oliver gets there to number 9, that he would be the Bills' pick. Well, the belief is growing more and more that Ed Oliver is not going to be available at number 9. There's talks that he can go as early as number 3 to the New York Jets. I heard today that it was 50-50 between Leonard Williams, not 50-50, I guess, a three-way option for them between Quinnen Williams, Josh Allen, and Ed Oliver. And then there's also this talk that Atlanta could trade up with Detroit to number 8 for the purpose of drafting Ed Oliver. I don't know that the Bills are going to be able to sit there and draft him at number 9. So with Oliver becoming unlikely, although that would be seemingly everyone's dream, what are the names that I'm starting to hear? And there's two. There are two names that I'll be deciding between for my final mock draft regarding the Buffalo Bills. Now, I have also heard that trading back is something that is on the table. And to me, that makes a lot of sense. I wouldn't trade far back, but for the names I'm going to talk about here in a second, it would make a lot of sense. And that at number 9, the Bills are one pick ahead of Denver, 2 in front of Cincinnati, 3 in front of Miami, 5 in front of Washington. If the quarterbacks don't come off the board, 9's going to be a hell of a spot to get to if you want to get that number 2 quarterback. Let's say the Giants don't take one at 6. That's going to open up a lot of possibilities for the trade market and quarterbacks. Now, that certainly could, that opens up the door for the Jaguars at 7 and the Lions at 8. So it's not just the Bills. But if the, you know, if the quarterbacks fall a little bit, 9's going to be an attractive spot, or any spot really in front of 10 is going to be an attractive spot for one of those teams wanting to trade up to get a quarterback. So could the Bills move back? Yeah, they certainly could. Here's the two names that I'm hearing for the Buffalo Bills with the number 9 overall pick, or the two names that you were getting a sense that they're going to probably be choosing from in the first round. The first one is a name that you've heard as well, Jonah Williams, offensive tackle from Alabama. Makes a lot of sense. Brian Daboll knows him. He's a process guy, film guy, gym rat, high football character, work ethic, team leader, loves every, you know, I keep going back to this, but the second that I watched his speech that he gave to announce that he was declaring for the NFL draft, and he started talking about everybody in the Alabama program and thanking them for how, you know, what they did to help him get to this point, I knew he was a Bills target. And then, you know, it just makes sense. It with the Daboll thing, and, you know, we could talk about this offensive line and how 6 pieces have been added, but who are the real long-term fixtures that are going to be there for, you know, be the anchors of the line for years to come? Well, we know Mitch Morse will be one of them, but who else? Deion Dawkins? Tell you what, Deion Dawkins has got to see the writing on the wall right now with all these pieces that have been added. And if they add Jonah Williams, who knows what Deion Dawkins' future is going to be? He's going to have to try to win a job at guard. And I know that Dawkins is a player that McDermott drafted in 2017, but the message that they've sent to Deion Dawkins is beyond loud at this point. So there's a big part of me that thinks Jonah Williams is very much likely to be the pick. The other pick, the other name that I've heard from 3 different sources is DK Metcalf, wide receiver from Ole Miss. And you guys know that I love DK Metcalf. You've heard me talk about him a lot on this podcast. And I also know that he's your nightmare scenario. I remember a couple weeks ago I did a poll on Twitter where I said, what's your nightmare pick? What's your realistic nightmare pick for the Bills in the first round? And the response that received the most replies was DK Metcalf, wide receiver from Ole Miss. If the Bills draft him, we'll talk a lot about his skill set and why it works and all that type of stuff. But you think about just from a high level, the Bills did make a lot of strides with their receiving core. You feel good about this starting this top 4 of Robert Foster, Zay Jones, Cole Beasley, and John Brown. You feel like that's a good quartet, but none of those guys are true bona fide number 1 alpha receivers. So just as much as the Bills have drafted or signed 6 offensive linemen to improve the offensive line, the same type of thing is present with the wide receiver core, where it's not out of the picture. It's crazy to me a little bit because you feel like the numbers, from a pure numbers perspective at wide receiver and offensive line, like the Bills kind of have their group, where you look at tight end, you look at defensive tackle, you look at defensive end, and in order to get to the 90-man roster, there's going to be a lot of bodies added at those positions. So despite what we've already learned this offseason, despite the corrections, what I would believe is corrections to mistakes with the investments made at offensive line and wide receiver so far this offseason, we're still talking about those two positions with the Bills in the first round. Now, to me, I thought this was all setting up for a pick on the defensive side of the ball, specifically at defensive tackle or defensive end. But everything we keep hearing, or everything I keep hearing, is offensive line, wide receiver, specifically Jonah Williams and DK Metcalf. We'll find out soon enough, guys. We'll find out soon enough. We can stop the speculation. We can start talking about how these players fit the team and how they impact the roster. And whoever it is, whether I agree with the pick or not, let's just hope that they're an impact player. Because I think that's, at the end of the day, that's what the Bills really need. Guys that can come in, a guy that can come in and truly make an impact and be a foundational piece of the roster. Now, maybe a trade back from 9 would, you know, if, let's say that the Redskins move up from 15 to 9, they snag whatever quarterback they like, and the Bills draft DK Metcalf at 15. And that, and along the way, they pick up a second-round pick or something like that. You know, that seems, maybe you'll like that more. Maybe the Bills will get both. Maybe the Bills will draft Jonah Williams at 9, and then they'll trade 40 and 73 to get to 25 and pick DK Metcalf, and we come out of the first round with both of these players. But that's what I'm hearing, that these are the two players that seem to be the most likely, in addition to Ed Oliver, who we don't think will be available at number 9, and I don't think the Bills are going to trade up from 9. And who knows how it happens, but those are the two names that I keep hearing for the Buffalo Bills. So we'll find out soon enough. We'll talk about it more over the next couple of days. Twitter Tuesday tomorrow. Big NFL draft talk on Wednesday. And then Thursday, I will settle on what I believe will happen, and we'll talk about it here on the podcast with my final mock draft as we prepare for the NFL draft on Thursday night, 8 o'clock Eastern time, from Nashville, Tennessee, where I'll be broadcasting live with thedraftnetwork.com. So hope you'll stay tuned and check out that coverage as well. Hit subscribe, rate, review the podcast, tell a friend, share it, all that stuff. Appreciate it. We'll be back again for you tomorrow with Twitter Tuesday. Thanks so much for listening to Locked On Bills.